He is the new voice of talk radio, Alexander Danilov.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Solutionsology Radio. Special guest tonight is Kenny Nguyen of the Big Fish Experience, the Big Fish Presentation Company. He and his team just recently released a book, which I'm very happy to have in hand. That book is called The Big Fish Experience. We're going to be talking about that, how he and his team have set on the mission to rid the world of boringness, which is not technically a word, but boring presentations in the same breath. So, Kenny, welcome to the show. Congratulations on this new book. This is big.
Thank you, Alex. I cannot thank you enough for letting me be on your show. It's an honor to be here, man.
The honor's all mine for sure. I mean, this is something that's, look, when people look at you, they see a young kid, very vibrant, very full of life, very full of energy. They can't believe that you're running a company, right? So I'm sure you get that a lot. And I know you don't like to sleep, because if you did, this book would never have come out and would not be in front of me sitting right now. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about how you guys got to this part, and the evolution of Big Fish and what sparked Big Fish Presentations Company.
Absolutely, man. I'm ready to chat.
Yep. Go ahead, please.
So really, like, what came about this, man? This is about a 3-year project. Like, this Big Fish Experience book. So 5 years ago, when we started the company, we thought to ourselves, let's go find a book that can actually teach us how to, like, create great presentation experiences. Because right from the get-go of the company, we thought, you know, anybody can create a presentation. You or I, Alex, could go right now and open a PowerPoint, create a PowerPoint presentation. That's not good enough for us. We want to create experiences, content, design, delivery, those three things. It's a beautiful experience with the presenter. However, though, sadly, we could never find a book that can really capitalize in a human way where it doesn't sound like the book is almost talking down to me, a book that really explains great presentations. And so we just said, we'll probably write this book one day. And 2 years later, you know, McGraw-Hill came – or 2 years later, McGraw-Hill came and called and said, hey, yo, well, what do you think about writing this book that we, like – you know, we really dig your company. We think y'all stand for something cool, because – if you want to rid the world of boring presentations, who wouldn't want to help you? And so we thought, man, screw it. Let's do this, man. Like, it's our dream, and we're going to do it. And so,
and you and your team coalesce around the simple message, right? Obviously, ridding the world of boringness, but also being able to tell why you're there in one simple message, right? So as it's this
correct.
Is from the chapter, Simple Central Message in the book. If you can't say what your presentation is about in one sentence, you're doing something wrong. So that's a very very important, very core tenet here. This is not just what you read from other books. You've done presentations. Your team has done presentations. You've been on stage. You guys have been nervous. You've had stage fright. You know what works and what doesn't. So let's talk about this particular message and why it's so important and why it has such a problem resonating with people.
Well,
or
definitely.
Until now,
so anyway. the way that I see it is always like, people want to give presentations, they have so many different things to say. I give a lot of presentations to myself on presentations, and I could go and just shout out to the world everything I need to say. But if you can't truly digest and take the essence of what you have to say in one simple sentence of your whole entire presentation, I feel like you're missing that hook, that real essential synopsis or that summary. For example, in our book, the one simple central message in one simplified sentence is content design delivery equals a presentation experience. Very simple, but to the point. You now know exactly what the book is about. Mm-hmm. And that's the message that we have. And so the challenge is, so Alex, for you and I, is that, and anybody listening, it's when people come in, they have these elaborate presentations, they truly have a problem when they are asked to distill the message, because you think, man, I have so many different things to say. The trick, though, is if you want to have one simple message, think about what's the one takeaway you want the audience to have when they walk away from you. Not one, two, or three, but what's that one? That's that one that you build your presentation around.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I'm speaking with Kenny Nguyen, founder, CEO of the Big Fish Presentation Company. He and his team collaborated to put together the Big Fish Experience book. Awesome book, very interactive in a lot of ways, which a lot of books aren't. It's not just text, but it makes it fun to read. A lot of what you do in the book is obviously breaking down and boiling down the different parts of presentations. And I'm going to go a little bit further down. The most important part for me is a story to anything, right? To this So the show we're doing right now, the interview we're doing right now, there's a story that we're trying to hammer home. There's an idea for everything that we do. Every time we tell somebody how our weekend was, there's a story behind that weekend, no matter what it is. It's how we tell it. And yeah, you guys put together a great thing here and created the story arc. So let's talk about the story arc. Why it's so important, because, I mean, this is not something that's disputable. These are wave of emotions. This is how we get to these points. This is what kind of triggers that. So let's talk about why the story arc is so important.
I love the story arc, man. And the story arc from, like, the beginning, from the introduction to the opener, even to the end for the falling action, all that's very important. But when I think of a story, like, to make it very simplified, I like to think of three different things that a story always has to have. One, it has to have a villain. And the thing is, it could be the problem that you're facing. It could be a legitimate, like, industry deficiency or problem. But it needs to have something that's really dastardly and relatable to the audience. Next thing is, you need a hero. A hero is so important because that's the solution. Typically, if you're giving a pitch, you are the hero, or you can empower the audience to be the hero, to rise against the villain. But most importantly, out of these two things, you need suspense. So that story arc that you're looking at right now is that there's an introduction of a hero, there's an introduction of a villain, but all that happens when they collide, leading to a climax. And the suspense is always built up saying, what's going to happen when the villain wins? You want the audience to feel as if it's a fair fight. If it's a smack dab outright win by the hero, you know, there's really no tension. You want to build that tension up to make the audience think, what will happen if I don't believe in the presenter when he's telling the story? And finally, when the climax hits and there's that central message, comes the falling action. And with the falling action, you know, you lead down to the conclusion, which is the wrap-up of everything. But all overall in the story arc, the most important things to remember is create one powerful hero. At the same time, make sure your audience can resonate with that hero and make sure they can involve themselves as well in the hero's journey. Next is a villain. Choose a problem that the audience can rally against. Make the problem something that they can feel that's real. If it's a problem that's unreal, chances are they won't rally against it. But most importantly, make sure there's suspense. Compare those two heroes and villains in a way that the audience feels like it's a battle.
Yep, absolutely, Kenny. And it's not only a battle. We're not only battling ourselves, because there's so much that we want to say, so much that we want to get out there, and we don't do it in the particular order. We don't do it in the right way. We don't attack it the right way. So you talk about how you create presentations to yourself, or you present to yourself, whether it's in the mirror, no matter what it is, you record it, no matter what. It helps us. It's silly. It's very silly. Yeah. It's like people look in the mirror and it says, I'm successful, or, you know, I'm this or I'm that. Those affirmations, this is what this is. It's prep work, and it's very necessary. And if you look at some of the best presenters out there, it has nothing to do with whether they use Prezi or PowerPoint, PowerPoint to me is boring by nature. I do like the other ones, but it has to be a message there that I can I can coalesce around. I can get behind, no matter what software was used. But again, it's a matter of how long it takes us to get to that particular point. So you're kind of shortening the learning curve here, but it still takes time. And you don't necessarily have to be in front of a crowd. That's what people don't get. You don't necessarily have to be in a crowd to give a presentation. You could do it in front of one person. You can do it in front of the person in the mirror. And that's the biggest critic you should ever have. So let's talk about that.
Exactly.
How you live by not only what you preach and what you guys write about, guys and gals, but also the fact that you do this out of, not because you're bored, Kenny, that's obviously far from true. You do it because you need to do this to perfect it.
Yeah, I'm learning every day, Alex. In fact, right before this call, like, I was literally in a presentation. And the thing is, like, with presentations, a lot of people think a presentation today is like you go on stage and deliver a message. It's not like that. Think about presentations as an argument, a proposal. It can be between you and your spouse, or like I said, even you in the mirror, or you even recording yourself. So to practice what we preach, one thing that we always do at our shop is before we go and give a presentation live, we give a presentation to ourselves, recording ourselves using a webcam, and we can actually critique ourselves watching, saying, how's our body language? Did we say anything that sounded like jargon? Did we say anything that was very hard to understand? Was this message simplistic, and was this story something I wanted to hear? However, the one gleaning factor when I critique myself is, can I watch this presentation over and over again and not get bored? And if I can't, I won't do it. I gave my TEDx talk. a couple years ago, and actually I kept recording myself over and over and over. And dude, believe it or not, Alex, I deleted my talk day before, and wow. I just could not watch it again, man. I was like, this isn't cool, man. I didn't like it. I didn't love it. And so the practice what I preached, I completely rewrote it the next day. And now, you know, I thought it was one of the best talks I've ever given. And it was one of those things where it's like you have to constantly critique yourself. And so if anybody really wants to really go through the gauntlet, watch yourself present. Because other people, they might be afraid to hurt your feelings, or they might be able to tell you something that you can realize. But if you watch yourself present, my God, would that reveal a lot of deficiencies? But you get that real with yourself, Alex, dude, you're gonna be a lot better.
Yep, and one of the things that we have such a hard time with, Kenny, is being able to critique ourselves. Because we have this model of who we are because that's who we want to be. Sometimes we live up to it to a degree, sometimes we don't. It's easier for us to look at somebody at the gym and say, oh, that person looks stupid. Why are they wearing that sweatband that looks hideous? Why are they doing the workout like that? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
Why is this person so boring back there? Why is he using his hands so much? Why is he gesticulating? All these kinds of things. But we don't look at ourselves and figure out why. No, I now realize I put my hand behind my neck when I do that. That can't convey some sort of confidence in my message. Like, we don't notice things like that, even if it's on a micro level, just talking to our friends or family or neighbors, whatever. So that's very important. Next, after we get through that part and we see ourselves, we should look at what we're actually putting out there, right, Kenny? So you talked before about trying to create one central message, not two or three, but one thing, and then tailor everything around it. But we tend to clutter that. And I'm reading this now from page 63 in the book, Too Much Clutter. Decreasing the amount of clutter you have in your script and on your slides is important. So again, it's not just the slides. No one wants to read a ton of information on the slide. This takes attention away from you, the speaker. And then you go into different things. Are you still reading this? That's incredible. Feel free to stop. See how distracting. So, you know, that kind of stuff. You guys are being lighthearted about it. And you're trying to make a point. So let's talk about the clutter side and the fact that it's so hard for us to trim down what we're trying to say.
I'll tell you straight up, man, when it comes to clutter, like, people think it's just on the presentation slide content itself. It's not, dude. And I'll tell you what it is. It's really about what you say, your script, your content, your bullet points. People tend to add so many different words and try to make sure when they write these bullet points, it sounds very smart, however, there's a downfall of this. Chances are, if you're doing this, sometimes you make yourself sound way too articulate or way too non-human, where it almost sounds like a rehearsed script. I think it's one of the most biggest mistakes when you try to rehearse things line by line by line by line. Because what that does is that if you do that and you mess up, sometimes you can't recover. And, like, the more experienced presenters can, but the best presenters I see, they see, like, a script. Or they know the main point. And so when they deliver it, they can deliver it, but even if they screw up, they can make it sound human. They can sound like casual conversation. Like, you and I right now, Alex, are in a very unscripted conversation. I love that. And the best presentations are like that. They feel unscripted. They feel raw. They feel completely full of emotion. And that's why if you have a script, you know, make it sound human. Like, don't make it sound like so articulate. Like, make it sound as if you and I are talking to each other.
Now, Kenny, again, your team put this book together. It's a great book. We've covered it. You had a great review on Amazon. Congratulations on this. It's only been about a month or so now, but it's been a great book, and this is your first endeavor into this. I'm sure there'll be a follow-up to this. But let's talk a little bit more about what Big Fish has done, all the cool things that you guys are doing today, both on the content creation side, obviously via your site, which is bigfishpresentations.com, and helping people that way, but also helping your clientele, your partners, and individuals, right? It's not just corporations that need this when they do, you know, rah-rah speeches and things like that. But it's individuals who go out there that try to get into a TEDx conference and try to get a speech up there, and they just don't know how to connect, and they just don't understand why. So this book does that, but Big Fish itself also does a great deal of this in real life, real time.
Yeah, it does. And, like, you know, that's one thing, like, you know, when you say content, there's so many different, like, definitions of content. To me, it's like content's more than just words. It's the actual show. It's the actual show flow, what goes on the stage. So our firm, like, we specialize in presentation design, presentation training, video production, and also conference production. Conferences are my favorite because the content in there, it includes every single portion of what we do. For example, in Dallas, we just helped a company called Raising Cane produce their conference. And the content that we produced for them was they were going to go from a $500 million company to and it took them 20 years to go to a $500 million company. They want to triple that in literally 5 years. They want to go, and it's insane if you think about it. In 20 years, they got here, but they want to triple that in 5 years to $1.5 billion. How can you tell your workforce, like, some kind of crazy idea and make feel like this can be believable? So our challenge was to come in and to create a presentation flow for all the executives and train them on how to best deliver their message and how to back it up on how exactly they're going to execute it with videos. It was the whole entire shebang. And afterwards, the audience standing ovation. They loved it. So many people complimented us on, like, wow, I get it. I believe in the vision. And that's so powerful. That's what we do, Alex, is that we actually help people come up with the content to move. And while it's corporations, brands, we work with TED Ed, for example, and we work with these individual speakers on how can you best deliver your content visually. Because if you know, like, you watch any TED Talk, visuals are very clean. They're very simplistic, but at the same time, they're very powerful. And that's a hard process, man, because the thing is, you can go out and find a stock photo, but the thing is, like, is it the right photo? You have to go this digging process with content and actually say, is my sentence simplified enough where this photo makes sense to go with it? Like, you have to keep going down the clutter, because when it comes to photography or any kind of design, we want to make sure that it just makes sense. It should click. Like, people should go, ah, I get it. If that photo or that design make conflicts against that, we don't do it. So that's the kind of long answer. That's what we do, man. Content to us is really what makes everything sing. Content is king. Design is queen.
That's a great way of looking at it, Kenny, for sure. And if people want to find out more, of course, the book is The Big Fish Experience. It's a great book. Create memorable presentations that reel in your audience, which is obviously a play on words. Very clever there. I didn't give
like
any props
that?
On that before. I love wordplay. I consider myself somewhat of a wordsmith. Not good enough to create that kind of that kind of title, but I'm getting there. I'm getting to that point. But your website is bigfishpresentations.com. Again, it's not just for companies and corporations that you guys help. It's not just for organizations, both for-profit and non-for-profit. It's also individuals. You have a blog there. That's really cool. People can sign up for that, and so they can find out more. You have a lot of categories there broken down so people can zoom into what they need, what they believe is their weak spot. But it's always good to reassess and to figure out what's really going on. And there might be a lot of things that we don't even realize that we're not hitting on, but we think we are. It's always good to reassess that. So, Kenny, congratulations once again to you and your team for the amazing growth that you've had as a business, but also the ability to continue to fight and do something in a world where it's a lot of people doing what you guys are doing or trying to do what you guys are doing, and it's just a sales piece. But you guys live it out. You guys work together.
Yep.
There's no ego. So all that stuff is the reason why I needed to have you on my show. And the book, again, it's a great book. I encourage people to go check it out. Kenny, thank you again for coming on. Congrats with the book and good luck with it.
Thank you, Alex. It's an honor, man.
Appreciate it. Honor's all mine once again. Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate
Take
it.
Take care.